This is World Report. Good morning from CBC News. I'm Marcia Young. A new development in Belgium this morning. The country's federal prosecutor has charged two people with involvement in a terrorist group. One of them is a man identified as Faisal C. Belgian media are reporting he is the third airport attacker, the man pictured wearing a white jacket. The CBC's Thomas Degla is in Brussels with the latest.
Belgian media are reporting this man was arrested Thursday night and they have identified him as Faisal Chafou. They say he is the infamous man in white seen entering the Brussels airport on Tuesday with the two suicide bombers. Authorities have already said that that man in white had with him a bag with a bomb inside, a bomb more powerful than the two that went off, killing so many people. We have to take this information with a grain of salt, though, because there has been so much misinformation in local media in recent days about who has been arrested and who has not. But if this turns out to be true, if they do have in custody the infamous man in white, it would be huge for this investigation, Marcia.
So you're at the Place de la Bourse this morning. What's happening there?
Well, it's been 5 days since the attacks. People still feeling compelled to come here today, lay flowers and light candles. It's the weekend. Perhaps many of them hadn't been able to come see for themselves this makeshift memorial here. Last night, Red Cross volunteers and workers came to honor the victims, 200 of them wearing their reflective red and yellow jackets. First responders who were called to the scene of Tuesday's attacks formed a ring around this makeshift memorial. They were applauded by the crowd. And earlier in the day, the Brussels Philharmonic played Ode to Joy in an act of defiance. Hundreds of people attended. Here's how it sounded. So for a brief moment, the fear of organized terror vanished.
Thank you so much, Thomas.
You're welcome.
The CBC's Thomas Degla in Brussels. One more note on this story. Belgian authorities are asking people not to attend solidarity rallies in Brussels tomorrow. They say police resources are stretched and officers are needed elsewhere. In southern Manitoba, the search resumes for two-year-old Chase Martins. He was last seen on Tuesday playing outside his home near Austin, west of Winnipeg. The police search now involves unmanned drones mapping out the area and several hundred kilometers.
I couldn't imagine what they're going through. You know, so many things could happen out here, you know, and all these people are coming out to help, and that's all you can do is help.
My hopes is that we'll find them. My big hopes is that we'll find them alive.
Several hundred volunteers are helping out in that search. The area to be searched has been widened to just 4 kilometers around the home. A warning this weekend for anyone heading into the backcountry and the Rocky Mountains. Fresh snow and warm weather have created ideal conditions for avalanches. Aaron Collins has the details.
We're just excited to get out and feel some soft turns instead of some hard turns for a change.
With 20 centimeters of snow expected to fall over the long weekend, Jasper Johnson is heading to the backcountry. But the Canmore resident knows that skiing at this time of year can come with risks. For Johnson, that means watching out for avalanche conditions, packing the appropriate gear, and hitting the slopes with other experienced skiers.
If anything goes wrong, essentially my life is in their hands and vice versa.
And people in the know say conditions are ripe for things to go wrong this weekend. Parks Canada, Kananaskis Country, and Avalanche Canada have jointly issued a special avalanche warning for the Rockies. Jeremy McKenzie with Kananaskis Country says conditions are dangerous, a big problem on what's expected to be a busy holiday weekend.
That's sort of combined right now with a snowpack that's very complex and also very, very sensitive to human triggering.
That's why Avalanche Canada's Carl Klassen says that anyone heading into the backcountry should have been there before.
Well, if you don't have training and you don't have much experience with avalanche risk management, it's a good weekend to stay out of avalanche terrain.
Good advice, according to Jasper Johnson, who has a simple mantra when he heads out.
My motto is live to ski another day.
The special avalanche warning for the Rockies will be in place until Tuesday. Aaron Collins, CBC News, Calgary.
The UN Secretary General has arrived in Baghdad for talks on how to help Iraq. Ban Ki-moon is traveling with the heads of the World Bank and the Islamic Development Bank. The drop in oil prices and fight against ISIS have devastated Iraq's economy. It was a big night in Havana. The Rolling Stones played in the Cuban capital. It was the biggest rock concert the communist island has ever seen. and another step out of decades of isolation. I'm joined by CBC correspondent Joan Leishman. Joan, it must have been quite a night for Cuban rock fans.
Oh, it sure was. You know, as the Stones lead singer Mick Jagger said, times, they are a-changing. You know, not long ago, Cuba was almost completely isolated from the Western world, not just politically and economically, but also in art and music. In the heat of Fidel Castro's revolution, foreign music like the Stones was blocked from state-controlled radio. Of course, you know, people secretly passed around pirated vinyl records, but it was risky. If you were caught, you could be sent to rural work brigades to be cured of what was considered ideological deviation. But last night, 500,000 people were there, obviously loving this newfound freedom.
So is this a signal of what we'll see for Cuba, the more opening up to the West?
It's a big step. And, you know, this has been a huge week in that direction. It started off with a visit by Barack Obama, the first U.S. president to visit in almost a century. Then, and almost as important to the Cubans, a baseball game between Cuba's national team and the Tampa Bay Rays. And now a concert by the most iconic rock band on earth. So yes, things are changing, but keep in mind that the trade embargo is still in effect. Only the U.S. Congress can rescind that, and the Republican-controlled Congress has no intention of doing that.
All right. Thank you so much, Joan.
You're welcome.
CBC correspondent Joan Leishman with me in studio. The war of words in the U.S. Republican presidential race is becoming more personal. For days, Donald Trump and Ted Cruz have been exchanging barbs, often related to their wives. The feud has now hit a new level after an article in the tabloid The National Enquirer. It accused Cruz of extramarital affairs. Cruz has hit back, linking the article to the Trump campaign.
It is a story that quoted one source on the record, Roger Stone, Donald Trump's chief political advisor. Let me be clear. This National Enquirer story is garbage. It is complete and utter lies. It is a tabloid smear. And it is a smear that has come from Donald Trump and his henchmen. And this garbage does not belong in politics.
Earlier this week, Trump accused Cruz of using a nude photo of Trump's wife in an attack ad. Trump responded by threatening to spill the beans on Cruz's wife. That ad was produced by an anti-Trump super PAC. As for the Democratic Party, they are having caucuses in three states today: Washington, Alaska, and Hawaii. The federal health minister says the government is still committed to improving home care. The Liberals pledged to spend $3 billion during the election. The opposition points out there was no sign of that money in this week's budget. Susan Lunn has the details.
Our officials have been working extremely closely on all of the matters of the shared...
The federal health minister says the discussion around a new health care accord began when she met with her provincial counterparts in January. And Jane Philpott says those negotiations have continued ever since. Another part of those talks is how the federal government will keep another campaign promise, $3 billion over 4 years to improve home care. Philpott says how the provinces will eventually receive that money hasn't been decided yet.
There's been certainly been some good discussion around the possibility of having it as a separate package.
During last fall's election, the Liberals did promise home care money in their first budget, as much as $400 million. Yet there was no mention of it in Tuesday's spending plans. New Democrat health critic Don Davies says the Liberals could have set aside money for both home care and a new health accord for next year, but didn't.
The minister can't fabricate money out of thin air. If it's not budgeted for, then that money is not there.
The health minister says there needs to be some sort of agreement first on how the provinces will spend the home care money and how Canadians will benefit. Philpott expects to sit down again with provincial and territorial health ministers sometime in the next few months. Susan Lunn, CBC News, Ottawa.
The Easter Bunny may have been aboard a cargo ship destined for the International Space Station. The capsule arrived this morning carrying groceries, equipment, and experiments. It also contained a set of robotic grippers modeled after gecko feet. And it is possible the astronauts will be waking up to find chocolate Easter eggs on board. Boy, that bunny does get around. And that is World Report for this hour. For news anytime, cbcnews.ca. I'm Marcia Young.